Good afternoon, good afternoon. You have tuned in to Radiance by Design, because that's what we want to teach you how to do, to radiate consciously and according to what it is you want to do. What does that mean, radiating? Well, you are a vibrational vehicle of light, and so am I. And how do we get back to that awareness through this time in the third density, through life on the third dimension? How do we learn to move energies, to bring in universal energies, to really free ourselves from the confinements of the lower densities of this planet at this time? Well, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I work with my guides and angels. I work with your guides and angels. And what we are learning to do together is to clear denser frequencies, which are where we house old reactions, old complaints, huge patterning that keeps us kind of running over and over again through our karmic patterns and so on, making us feel at times that we have no choice and we want to learn to create our reality. So we're going to do a bunch of energy exercises. We're going to talk to you when you call in person, and the numbers are right there on BBS Radio where you get onto the radio station. You have to see the little list of numbers. I'll read them again in a while. And let's see, we do a bunch of energy exercises. We're going to talk today about karmic energies and about the shadow. And my guides say that they're kind of not entwined, but they're all very much in the same realm of accessibility. And sometimes when we run into karmic energies, we get drawn into situations way beyond our thinking. And then they evoke in us huge reactions, feeling powerless, perhaps victimized, and so on. And that's something that we can not only move beyond, but gain a huge amount of empowerment, self-empowerment, when we've gone through that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about that and some examples. We're going to create structures. Structures are a way of organizing energy fields using your mind as the sculpting tool. Organizing the energy fields to give you a little workshop space in which you can raise the frequency and the fields of those great dreams and things that you want to create in your life for creating your reality. And the guides have taught us a way of handling that. We're going to do some of that. We're going to answer your calls and give you some mini readings and work with your energy as you call in and talk about your issues. The guides will push us to move your energy fields and show you where you yourself are unlocking certain karmic knots or the knots that hold your consciousness in place. Ideally, what's happening on the planet, and there's a lot of polarization going on, but ideally we're all wanting to learn anyway, to become more authentic, to align our spiritual and cellular essence with our personalities and our way of working into the world, to learn to work as vibrational vehicles of light and to move past the inhibiting forces of past programming and social programming and fear and whatever else, right? So when you call in, expect to have some work. We're going to work with you. And let's start off with a structure. One of the things the guides always say is, let's clear the space. When you clear the space of energy at the beginning of any kind of connection to the higher, or even connection with other people, or wanting to go into a meeting and create results, you want to send in some kind of clearing so that you're not just confronting or being designed by leftover thoughts and feelings, which are basically energies that we believe or we absorb, we breathe in, we absorb, and we sometimes run them through our own minds and our own hearts. We don't want to do that, so let's clear some space for ourselves so we can make Radiance by Design a very uplifting and transforming workshop time. 1 hour to change the world and create conscious community that's vibrational and intentional together. And it's also very loving. So let's call in. Let's use Saint Germain's delightful tool. Keep it simple when you're clearing space so that you can do it automatically and you don't have to sit there and try and figure out where's your equipment and how does it work and blah, blah, blah. Call in the presence. Let's ask to feel and experience the presence. And let's call in the presence of the violet flame, the gift. gift from Saint Germain, the ascended Saint Germain. And see in the corner of your room, wherever you are, a violet flame burning and burning and turning and burning as a spiraling effect, and have it burn and burn and grow and burn and transform all the leftover thoughts and feelings in your room. And as those violet flames burn and grow and burn and grow and burn and grow, see them moving to the right and whirling round and round in a circle, and then forming a huge bonfire in the center of your room. And the bonfire, I can feel its energy as it crackles and burns and grows and burns. Wonderful. And it burns and burns. And find yourself jumping into the bonfire and having your own old reactive frequencies being taken and burned and transformed. You see, in this kind of work, you don't lose anything. You just transform the energy. Instead of a denser frequency, you make it a higher frequency, and then you're much more able to create your reality in a clean space. So as you jump around in the violet fire, and you come back to center, and now wrap your body with a violet flame, and the violet flame runs round and round your body from feet, round and round and round and round your body, right up to the top of your head. And then it shoots up through the top of your head into the great central sun. And there you are, absolutely radiant in your violet flame. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? Now tell me, how did you feel when you finished that? Do you feel uplifted? Do you feel enlightened? Do you feel much clearer and much more ready for action? Because I do. And when you have troubles with kids and so on, when you have trouble with associations and people, unless you get blindsided, which sometimes happens, you can usually use the violet flame to clear the space between you. So instead of having ricocheting energies going back and forth and confusing us and confounding us and involving us, we can actually smooth out the fields inside of ourselves and in the other person by setting up this wonderful violet flame. Give it a chance. It's great. So now what we're going to talk about today is, and I said that I already said that I'm going to talk about karmic energy. Now what do I mean by karmic energy? It seems like deep in our subconscious, in our belly, the belly houses the subconscious, it houses karma, it houses everything left over, other people's influences and so on. And so very often a karmic response is in the gastrointestinal system, or physically it'll be right in the belly area, moving up into the power center, the solar plexus, and so on. So why would we even need to be concerned about karmic energy? Well, basically, we have all been listening to, watching, and talking about The Secret. And The Secret has been dissed by a lot of people. I don't agree with dissing it at all. It's a wonderful learning curve for so many people on the planet that hadn't noticed it before. But it's metaphysics, that we can create our reality. And sometimes there's an impediment to that, or something is slowed down. What slows us down is past reactions, old stuff, old hooks with people, old kinds of, whether it's old life imprints, whether it's evolutionary imprints, whether it's levels of consciousness that we haven't resolved yet or so on, or whether it's just simply one-on-one battles that haven't been completed. These karmic situations are very like, I think of them as, if you look at the flowing, beautiful, uplifting frequencies in our body-mind, there are these knots in there. They're knots. And what they represent to me, and that's how I perceive them as an intuitive, what they represent to me are places where we have been stopped by some drama and encoded in ourselves, like holy mackerel, all big people are scary, or all men are scary, or something really deep that comes from some experience, and then we make a decision on that, and then we've got this knot in there, and then you meet with someone, and you're in a situation with them, and all of a sudden, all heck breaks loose, and you can't resolve the issue. There's so much. Maybe it's a small issue. Somebody says, you weren't invited, and the other person is absolutely 100% devastated, not a little bit, but a lot, and say, well, that wasn't such a big deal. How come you're upset? Well, it's highly likely that there's something deep in the belly between those two people that really pulled the string tight, that saying, you're not invited, ha ha, or whatever, represented times of being killed that way, or times of being betrayed that way, or times of just incredibly deep ancient patterning. So the problems with those are that the experiencing of those and the healing of them are really freeing for both people, actually, even if they never know what the heck went on. But the fact that they're in there at all, they hold back on the power that is yourself. They'll hold you way back and keep you very much victimized when you're trying to be way beyond the consciousness of victim. And where you're trying to create your reality, it's like having something deep down inside of you that's going to pull back so that your reality is going to be held behind this knot. And very much like the shadow, for those of you who are listening to Jackie's programs on the shadow on BBS on Thursday night, Jackie's and mine, really, but it's hers and I'm her sidekick in it. It's very like the shadow. So what's hidden in there is such a big, old, again, a knot that holds you back from being free to create or from free will. So the idea is it holds you back so when you actually can free yourself of it, then some of you is more available to create the reality you want. There's a huge amount of power there and self-love in behind, and we all need self-love and self-respect in order to create the reality that we want. Got to have your center there. And so, you know, it's a really interesting subject, karma. So what kind of stuff's going on with you? It's very often family of origin or people that you're married to or have been absolutely relentlessly drawn to. Very often those are karmic. I often say to people, if you meet somebody, you say, holy mackerel, I just met this person and we feel so comfortable together. I really want to live with them for the rest of my life. I always inside think, maybe you should run. Because very often, the way we get realigned with someone in which, you know, in the relationship of which you have something to resolve or something to blow up, is likely to blow up in your face after a while. It's likely to become a housing for a really almost untenable rage or fury or difference between two people. Not always, but those are kind of karmic relationships. Even people who have met their soulmates, you know, very often, and I'm flipping the word karma around because I'm not really sure what I believe is its actual definition. Read enough books, you have a different definition. But if you meet, people phone me and say, I want to meet my soulmate, and I go, do you really? Because if your soulmate is somebody that you know really well on a soul level. But what lifetime are you in? If you guys are really in harmony on a cellular level, or on a spirit level, and in this lifetime, you're actually not as evolved as the other person, or if your lifetime, your third dimensional journeys have taken you in very different courses, you can be quite deeply entranced and absolutely in love, and on the human level, absolutely intolerant of one another, one's ignorance, one's inability to get to perceive things. There can be some very hidden rages and so on, where people will be absolutely, kind of like what I was just talking about, overreactive and really furious over some little thing. You can rest assured that that's somewhere on the cellular level, it's hidden in there that people are experienced with each other and are not evolving at the same rate on the physical. They might be on the cellular level. We have so many roots to our personal evolution. And sometimes it makes us much more varied than we expect to be. So let's see, I'm going to give you some phone numbers, and then we're going to talk about various ways of how we are empatterned or... Good, we have a caller, so I won't give the phone number till after the caller, because you don't need it. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi, Veronica. This is Jeannie. How are you?
I'm really fine today. How are you, Jeannie?
Doing great.
Good. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do. I've been having some things popping up around the house. Like I'll turn around and something will be there that wasn't there before. And I just thought maybe somebody was trying to get a message to me. Do you see anything on that?
Yeah. Are you widowed?
No, I'm not.
Well, there is somebody's trying to get a strong message to you, actually. I feel like it's a male. Was it your dad? There's a male, and he looks a little bit older. How old are you, Jeannie?
I'm 52.
Okay. He looks like he's older than you.
Okay.
And he knows, you know him. This is not a mystery man.
I had a sense that it was a man, and I wasn't sure who.
And he's depressed. He's a sad spirit. You know that?
Oh.
Does this make sense to you?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
He wants some understanding. Oh my goodness, he wants some forgiveness. Did somebody hurt your feelings terribly who passed?
Well, we used to have a young man living with us that his family had kicked him out of the house, and he was only 16, and we took him in for a while, and then later on he went back to live at home, and he ended up committing suicide.
Oh, darling. You know, it's funny, he looks old to me, and he was actually young, huh?
Well, he was 20, and so I don't know if it's him or not, but I think it is,
but he shows himself as an older spirit. And the thing about him is that you know, something awful happened to him when he was probably 7, 8, 9, 10 in those years.
Okay.
Something horrible that what he's trying to say is he wants you to know, he wants to say thank you, and he wants to say he's sorry because you tried really hard to help him, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I just him and his dad used to fist fight, and
he says that what he wants you to understand is that it was too much for him, and that from the time he was about 10, he was kind of crazy inside, and he couldn't find that place in himself, and he's trying to work it out right now.
So he's working it out now in the place he's at.
Yeah, and you know what he needs from you, and I want to cry. That's him. He needs. He needs somebody to hear his story, that he wasn't just impossible, that he got kind of locked into a terror and he couldn't find any way of being okay inside.
Okay, and so this is his way out.
And now he would like to forgive himself, and he would like your forgiveness, but in truth he needs people to understand something about his story. Does he have a little sister? Because there's some big problem with somebody else in the family.
He has two younger brothers.
Oh, dear. How long ago was this? Because it seems like that would have been too long ago. But in any case, what he's saying is that somebody in the family needs help. And
it's about 9 years ago that this happened.
Well, you know what, Jeannie? You can help the youngest one.
Okay.
What he's saying is something like to just acknowledge. You see, what happens is when somebody gets kind of crazy and locked inside like that, having someone look in there and know who they are, it's such a healer. And he says that one of his siblings, is there not a little girl in there?
Well, I haven't seen them. They moved out of town about a year or two after that happened, and I haven't seen them since. I just heard that they were in another town, so I don't know if they had any more kids or not.
I think the father was extremely abusive, I'll tell you.
It was either the parents' way or no way.
Well, it's very interesting because this is a lesson that we all need to hear, is that sometimes people who are in such treacherous situations, when they're, and I've often said this to my partner in my work and so on, well, often when people are seen and known for who they are, there's a tremendous healing. And this boy, he rattled around inside of himself in such a painful way. I just can't even imagine how he did it as long as he did, you know?
Yeah.
And you helped a lot, but we need to trust that when we can really look at a child and be still enough to really perceive who they are, they really pick up speed and they have much more self intact.
Yeah, well, I think I felt that I should have done more, and so I guess I need forgiveness from him too.
Yes. Wait a sec. what I'm hearing is that you were very worried about a lot of things in your life, and that very often preoccupies the perceptive part.
Yes.
So you did the best you could. Your greatest failing was having a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
And you did your best to love him and care for him. You even counseled him a fair amount.
Yeah.
And so he appreciates you very much, but he's asking for your forgiveness. Because he's trying to move he's asking for your forgiveness. If we're talking about karma, he's saying he's trying to unhook your pain from his and his from yours so that you're both freer to move along. But he has an interest, and the youngest of the family needs that very much. And you may not be able to contact them, but if you ever did, that would be what to do, you know?
Yeah. My daughter, I think, could find out where they're at and probably give them a call and see how the younger boys are doing.
I think that would be a really good idea because, and he's saying all, I feel like he cries, you know. I feel like all he's saying is that especially one of them just needs to be known for who he is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't have to do anything, but if you ever did anything, that would be enough.
Yeah.
And that
well, I definitely forgive him. I know that his life at home wasn't good and that it was very hard.
Thank you. He takes your forgiveness. You know that?
Yeah.
It's just, do you feel the energy connection? Sometimes, and this is for everybody listening, that forgiveness is very often a mutually agreed upon energy connection, disconnection, or a harmonizing thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and he's very humble, and he's just blessing you because he's trying to move through the way he's been.
Yes.
And he has a great deal of work to do with his father. He said his father's a very crippled man.
Yes.
Yeah. So he thanks you for all you did.
Well, he's welcome. I just wish I could have done more or would have done more, but...
He just says, please accept my apologies. I see him kind of weeping and being trying to let his lovingness be through so you can feel it?
Yes. Yes.
He cares. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
And you too. You too.
Blessings. Bye.
Bye. Now, there's a really interesting case because, karmically speaking, okay, here's an example of a woman who did her best. You know how we are. We're busy. We're raising kids. We're whatever else we're doing. And then this boy needed something, and she gave him what she had. But there's still an unfinished business between them. Not because she beat him up or anything. Nothing really dramatic like that. But we have all these funny little hooks between people. And what it takes, and a really good example of how to release karmic problems or leftover or reactive problems, is to be together in... recognition, you know, I feel what I felt like, and I feel like what I felt like, and then we can release those tethers that run between people because of dramas that we've shared, you know. These two didn't have anything horrible about each other at all. In fact, there was a lot of respect and love, but that young man did not love himself at all. He was very twisted and distorted because of his trying to get himself, you know, trying to save himself and so on. It is a very, very painful thing, and I thank you for your call, Jeannie, and your braveness to do it, to make the call. Good afternoon. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi, Veronica. This is Erin.
Hi, Erin. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I think I'm wonderful today.
Good.
It's a cloudy day, but other than that, it's great. You got it.
I have a question. Well, it just, for the last couple months, I was feeling like my guides are trying to tell me something.
Okay.
And I was working really hard on meditation and trying to figure out what it was. And I just couldn't quite get there. And then it seemed like it faded, but now I'm feeling it again.
I have to tease you, Erin, and go, oh, for heaven's sakes. It's a funny line when we say, working hard on my meditation.
Right.
When you think about it, it's really funny. We kind of need to get into a breathing and a surrender and a letting go, blah, blah, blah. Because when you're talking about it, I feel like your guides are, I want to laugh at them. They're funny, actually. You have a lot of humor around you, and they are wanting you to get out of the way in a way, because they're trying to reflect to you big changes that are coming, and that you have full capacity to be quite a powerful little intuitive. Have you thought of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're, I remember, let me see, when I was learning to do a lot of this stuff, I remember how frustrating it was, because it's almost like a drill trying to cut through membranes of energy. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're saying that they're right there, and you need to accept that, because it makes it much easier for them to come through than when you're wrinkling your forehead and tightening your brain patterns in order to make yourself more efficient. Isn't that interesting? So you have, I don't know, what is your technique? Do you want me to give you a technique to make it easier?
What's that? I can't hear you very well.
You can't hear me very well? Please, don't tell me that.
It's kind of, my phone is just kind of echoing a little bit.
Oh, okay, because I'm trying to get better at getting some volume, so we need to hear about that.
Now I can hear you better.
Thank you, darling. So about your technique, what's your technique for bringing through your guides? Do you
say that again?
Okay, so I'm going to give you some techniques. Do you raise?
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah. Do you do rapid? Do you do breathing or workout, physical workout?
Yes.
Okay, and is that when you connect with your guides? When's your favorite time?
It was happening when I was alone in the afternoon, and then when I'd go to bed at night, when I would try to meditate and communicate. Maybe I was almost like trying to channel.
Right. Don't say trying. Say I'm almost channeling, right? Remember, channeling is an interesting word, because it talks about making holes so you can make connections through energy fields. So it is a process, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, some people are spontaneous channels and everything comes to them. Some of us have to work in the trenches and get it done, right? So what I'm saying to you is, why don't you call it in right after your physical workout? Because that's when your endorphins are free and the membranes of energy around the top part of your head are much freer. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And the guides want you to do awful lot of breathing, like there's a much more complex versions of it, pranayama, but I find rapid panting through the nose, if you do it vigorously for long enough, and it was taught to me to be like 20 minutes, to do that, that really opens your senses and your fields in the top of your head. And I feel like you're just breaking apart some old defensive. Remember, we had a lot of defenses to keep us in the third dimension, right? We're breaking some of that energy defense apart. And the guides want you to do it while you just finish working out.
Okay.
Can you do that?
I can. Are you getting any other message for me?
Well, let me see. You have a very, very powerful, kind of a golden guide who loves you so very much. And he's trying to cultivate your journey is about, are you a teacher or something? Your journey is about teaching, isn't it?
It is. You've told me that before, and others have told me that too.
Okay, well, he's saying that you're going to be quite a brilliant teacher in time. Are you young yet, Erin?
I'm 42.
You're young yet, girl. I'm 105.
It's all relative.
I know. And anyway, he says that you're going to be quite a brilliant teacher. You have this golden guide, and, you know, they show colors according to their frequencies, and there's a lot of love and teaching in the gold. But then over here, he's going to be leaving you. He's going to connect you well enough that you're going to connect with a mentor. And your mentor, I don't know, what do you teach school right now?
No, I'm a nurse. I'm just going to, right now, as in yesterday, I'm going to start teaching doctors and doctor's offices on a new medication for diabetics.
Right on. But you know what? You're going to teach spiritual work in a while. Ha, 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 ha.
That's what I thought.
Maybe to doctors. Wouldn't that be yummy, huh? Teach them to do blood sugar with energy. I think that'd be really fun. In any case, you've got some mentor coming up in your world, and he's a very sophisticated thinker. And somehow he's going to mentor you to bring you forward as a kind of a, they're calling a quasi-spiritual teacher at first, a teacher who helps people bridge the connection between the physical, the medical, and the metaphysical. And so I don't know how you're going to do it, but you don't have to worry about that because your mentoring connection is being set up for you as we speak.
And is that a spiritual mentor or on earth?
You know what? I thought at first it was a spiritual guide, but I think it's a man.
Okay.
You know them. You know men.
And it's not a woman?
It looks like a man. If it's a woman, she's mannish and she's very authoritarian in the sense of being empowered.
Okay.
And she doesn't look like a guru. She looks like he, she, whoever. Looks like a strong, able business, probably medical kind of person. And it's a person who has a huge amount of, a great deal of respect in the community and some power. And you'll chuckle. And that person will then lead you to one who is more of a spiritual healer teacher. So this person coming up is a mentor, bridge kind of person, who's then going to put you in the charms of someone who's a light field worker, a loving, healing soul. What do you think of that?
I think it all sounds really good and just kind of in line with what I've been feeling.
Isn't that great?
It is.
I love it. You're going to be so happy. I mean, you're going to be very proud of your existence, aren't you?
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, my dear.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Now, what's really interesting about Aaron's world and many of ours is that we have a lot of reactive energies. I was talking about that, karmic energies and so on. We have a lot of that going on. We're like, people always say how the whales hold all the records of the universe. We hold tremendous records to all of us people. And sometimes they kind of blow us out of the water because we bang into somebody in our records or unfinished business. And that, to me, is what karma is all about. But this woman, and many of you listening to BBS Radio and all the various approaches to consciousness that are illuminated on this wonderful station. Okay, many of us are already aligned to, we could say, in the essence of our being and in our plans, in our scripts and so on, we're aligned to evoke in ourselves an awakening that brings us into a much more multidimensional existence, and Aaron is one of those. Many of you listening to BBS Radio are like that. It's not that one or two of us get to be... Oh, goody, we have another caller. I'll be with you in just a moment. It's not that just one or two of us gets to do that. There's a move afoot on the planet at this time to move many people to much higher consciousness where we'll think in terms of win-win and we'll bring in higher dimensional beings and fields in order to raise the frequency of the human, of the whole planet. Heavens, not just humans, deer, elephants. So we have somebody else here, and you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, Veronica.
Hi.
This is Brian.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm just great. We've been talking before, haven't we?
Yes.
What's new with you?
Well, I was just calling about, in the past year or so, I've had kind of, I guess you would say, maybe paranormal activity.
Great.
Around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure if something was trying to always get my attention. I'd have things would turn off and on. The lights would flicker a lot. A lot of times I'd build up a lot of static electricity.
Hmm.
And I would be like, every time I touch a light switch, the light bulbs would just go out. So I was just wondering what's going on around me.
Now, have you seen the movie Powder? I'm playing with you here. Did you ever see the movie Powder?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Did you ever see the movie Powder?
No, I'll have to watch that.
I think you would love it. You're quite young, aren't you? How old are you, Brian?
I'm 32 now.
Great. I would get that movie just for fun because it's all about a young man who was born, his mother was hit by lightning and he was born as an albino, but his penchant for dealing with energy is absolutely amazing. And I just want to talk back about you, and I think you'd enjoy the movie, so get it, it's old. But it's really wonderful. I saw it again the other night, and I just wanted to eat it for dinner. I liked it so much. I honestly did not eat it, I have to tell you that.
Yeah.
But anyway, what you've got is an awakening consciousness. Did you hear me just say a while back that many of you listening to this show or BBS Radio are built with those inner promptings to awaken, awaken, awaken? Mm-hmm. And what you've got is a real penchant for healing energy, healing with energy, to bring energy through, to radiate energy, to create energy. And it's just waking up in you. And I feel like you're going to know, you've got a lot of the intuitive, and but I just keep getting almost like you're in a case of self, but something's trying to awaken you so you can just like burst into being a much more powerful healer, a kind of a dynamic character that's really going to influence other people as well. The job you're doing, you're going to change entirely, aren't you?
What's that?
What's your job?
I work with people with physical and mental disabilities.
Oh, it's great for you to do that. But you know what? You're going to change into someone who's running your own groups, running your teaching, doing a lot of healing things, teaching, 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 teaching.
Thank you so much, because that's what I was looking for, you know, something. I'm starting to, I've been searching the internet, and I've been wanting to learn how to, I've been trying to find an online school or something to learn to get a certification in metaphysics.
Right on. Have you found anything yet?
Yes, I have, believe it or not. Something soon. I'm just going to save up some money here and just start that here in the fall.
Where is it?
I don't know the exact website that it's.
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I know you're going to do that, but that's really what your destiny is. And then you will forge.
Yes.
Like many of us, if you read, there's a book called, what is it called, by Virginia Essene. It's a whole bunch of, it's called New Bodies, New Cells.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bunch of, channeled sessions. It's just like essays, I think 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been a wonderful, it's not a new book, but it's been a wonderful refresher for me. I seem to be going back in time and learning about energy again. But what it's talking about is energies are there, and it doesn't matter which technique you use. You can use your mind, you can use your hands, you can use whatever, but we're learning to bring them through and really create much more self-empowerment and healing. And when I look at you, I see you're going to create your own style, which is perfect. You know, if you can run energy and you can bring it through you and you're a teacher, you're going to find out how to talk to people that really touches them, and you're going to bring energy through that. Hot diggity, I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much, Veronica.
I'm so pleased you're going to school.
Yes, I'm actually getting back in school, but all for all the right reasons.
Well, I think when you get your hands on your life, you realize that when you become this kind of personality or this kind of person that touches people, your learning is only beginning, and you'll just learn and learn and learn probably for lifetimes.
Yes.
So you're helping a lot of people now. Keep going. Have you read Journey of Souls by Michael Newton?
Journey of Souls? No, not that one. I have not.
Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls is a really good combination of books because they talk about contracts we make between lifetimes, and it talks about, he's a hypnotherapist, and he got a lot of this information from his clients and his own explorations through people's minds and so on. But he talks about the kinds of souls and the way souls come in with sort of a pre-organized destiny for connecting with each other and destiny for evolution. He even talks about on the other side, they use a similar energy systems as what my guide just taught me on this side.
Yes.
So when I see you, I see you're just going to keep going right on through doing your work. You'll never stop working because it's like being an artist, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Good for you. Anyway, I would check out those books. Is there anything else?
The only one last question I had was, why is it sometimes I feel that I'm afraid to just to let go? I'm afraid deep down inside. I have sometimes this fear of just letting go and let whatever comes through channel. I don't know why that is.
Well, have you ever thought about being afraid of being crazy?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so.
When you ask that question, your energy fields start to wobble, and a part of you says to me, "Oh my God, I'll be taken over. Oh my God, I'm losing it. Oh my." That's deep.
Maybe that's the
deep in your psyche, darling.
Okay, so just a lot of healing work on that myself.
I think also some love for yourself, because isn't it scary to think you'll just be taken over?
Yeah, it is. That's why I should always learn to call down the light first and always be protected.
And use holy names, the presence of Christ, the Ascended Masters, Kurtumi, all these wonderful, wonderful beings who went ahead.
That's what I was wanting to make sure I had, some good, loving beings around me.
You bet. Well, don't hesitate to call them in, because when we take charge ourselves, we get into trouble.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
You're a wonderful soul. I mean, you're very vibrant.
Yeah, I was wondering if I had a lot of angels around me.
You sure do, and lots of your own guidance. It's to me, I see like a bank of angels, and I see a little group of guides, some of which are very strict with you.
And yes, they are.
I feel like they're stepping forward to make sure you know that you have strict teachers with you. You will not be taken over. You see what I mean?
Yes, I want to tell them thank you.
Yeah. Well, you tell them yourself, because they can hear
you. I will.
They love you so much.
I love them.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is. I'm so happy that we have a loving creator. They created all things.
Me too. And it never stops, because it's also in creation, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. We become the creators also.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Amazing. Yes, it is.
But it takes that ever-expanding quality of love to keep us moving.
See, that's what I'm feeling now, Veronica. I'm starting to feel that now that I've been opening up here the past month or two. I've been feeling that warmth, that heat radiate from my heart, and it feels so wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well, yes.
You deserve it. Well, I shouldn't put it that way. It sounds like it's a contest, and I don't mean it that way, but you're ready.
I know. Well, I want to appreciate for all the work that you do. Thank you so much, Veronica.
Thanks, Brian. Keep us posted.
All right. God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, that was another wonderful call from somebody who actually, talk about karma, some of us are, some of you, are ready to unfold in such a way as to bring higher fields together. This is politics, everybody. This is the way we change the world, right? It's not combative. It's peace-oriented. It's expansion-oriented. It's win-win. It's love. And it's your focus, this time on the planet, is able to allow the unfurlment of your brilliance to come up. Oh, goody, another caller. And you're all unfolding. And after this caller, we're going to do structure together and really enhance our own manifestation. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi. This is Julia. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, Julia?
I'm doing pretty darn good.
It's a great day.
Well, I heard you talking about karma and relationships earlier.
Isn't that a fun subject?
Pardon me?
Isn't that a fun subject?
Yeah. Well, I have something sort of interesting, and what it is my husband's birthday is the day before mine. It's September 16th and September 15th, so I was kind of wondering what your insight was with that.
Do you feel, are you the same age?
Yep.
Wow.
And we will be married 23 years next month.
You know, I feel like it's a harmonious relationship, is it?
Yeah.
Well, what happened to you to get one of those?
Got lucky, I guess. I don't know.
On a soul level, honey, you got smart. This looks like a good relationship, and I feel like you're very, very bonded at a soul level. Now, I'm pretty cheeky about soulmates. I go, oh, yeah, right, because there's some really difficult aspects of being in soulmates, but I believe you're the harmonious kind of soulmates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like... And another thing, I feel like you're a little bit older than he is. Are you the day older?
No, actually he is.
Well, do you understand what I mean? But as a soul, ready to advance and expand, you're a little bit older than he is.
Yeah, I think so, because he doesn't seem to be so much following a spiritual path, which isn't a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a different thing.
Well, it's a choice we make, right?
Yeah.
Or an attraction we have. But I feel this about him. Even though there are differences between the two of you, I feel like your journey forward is somehow touching him at a deeper level. So he doesn't have to resist you. He just lets you do that. That's okay with him.
Yeah.
And he would probably... He's a little resistant, actually, isn't he?
Well, I pretty much keep my spiritual stuff to myself, but every once in a while, like if I'm reading a book, if we're driving somewhere on a trip, I'll, like read him a passage or, oh, this is interesting, what do you think of this? And, tell him what I just read or run it by him or whatever. And
what does he say to that?
Sometimes he's receptive to it, and other times it's kind of like, oh, that's nice, dear.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting, Julia, is that he's safe. Even though you're pushing an envelope your way and you're unfolding and you're becoming much more advanced in a certain way, he's comfortable with that. He's not afraid of your advancement. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, so
that's
there's
a
kind
thing.
Of a harmony between these two souls that I think is on a cellular level. I don't think it's just a human level. My thing about soulmates is they're often out of accord, out of harmony.
Hmm.
And you and he are not. Even though he's not in the same pocket as you, you know?
Yeah, because we definitely both have our own, individual interests, and he is into golfing and that type of thing, and I, of course, have no desire to golf or learn to golf, so, and I'm into my spiritual stuff, and he has no desire to really get into that.
But I'll
but
tell you what.
Like, we both do our own things, and we're both fine with the other doing their own thing, so.
But he's actually picking up a lot of information from you, because... One of the things is it's not about speaking it all the time. It's about being it.
Hmm.
And you're getting closer to really quite being it, you know?
Ooh.
What kind of work do you do?
Well, actually right now I'm not, but I just was offered a position from a friend of mine that I'm looking at very seriously, and I'm pretty excited about it.
And is it in business? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It just seems like, well, I think you're going to go to work, but it seems like you're learning to take your spiritual principles into the marketplace with you.
Oh, nice.
And maybe that's true for all of, like, we all have to learn that, don't we?
Yeah.
But one thing about your husband that I just love is that doesn't bother him. He's picking up a lot of information in spite of himself. He's not resisting it at a deep level.
Well, good, because that can really be a problem.
I know. Well, I know a lot of relationships in which that contention has actually split the relationship or alienated the people.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him going, he trusts you. He feels safe with you being yourself and him being himself. And so that's pretty unique and very nice.
Yeah.
So many blessings to you, and thank you for your call.
Would it be okay if I asked just one quick one?
I think so.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I was wondering, you were speaking of, my becoming a little more spiritual. Do you see, like, awakenings and advancements and, just kind of bumping it up to the next level in
yes,
people?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And do you see that in me?
I see it very much so that there's a... how you're. I'll tell you what your energy looks like to me. It's very white inside, which is unusual for me to see. And it's... to me, my immediate interpretation of it is that there's a straightforward kind of honesty about it, and a little bit of a naivety, meaning I don't know what to expect of myself, and not too much of that arrogance that some people can get at times in spiritual journeying. But there's such an assured unfoldment going on, and you're going to embody a lot of what you're reading. I see it as a real advancement time for you. But stay
nice.
Humble about it, because these energies are unfolding partly because of your cellular commitment to learning and all the steps you want to make in this life. You've already evoked their activity, you know?
Oh, good.
Keep reading. I just watch you and I go, yeah. But don't get, you won't anyway, but don't get sometimes we'll go, oh, yeah, right, I'm way beyond so-and-so. Don't do that. This is
important. Yeah, no.
Because if we can't embody the principles, and that's so hard, holy mackerel, it's hard to do that, especially in this crazy world, hey?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a lot of that, in spite of your
good.
Worrying or self or whatever. It's lovely, and you're stepping forward. I would read Journey of Souls or Destiny of Souls or both of them by Michael Newton if I were you.
Yeah, I've read him before. He's very good. I enjoy his books.
I just opened them again today. I'm going, oh, this is such... Well, it's kind of basic in some ways, isn't it? But it gives you a sense of the movement, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy his work.
But your light is beautiful and very...
Thank you.
It makes people... you know, I don't know if you heard the woman who called in about the spirit who had taken his own life. And we were talking about how when your presence can bring people home to who they are, and that is a powerful healing tool. And you don't have to run around trying to do it. It's
yeah.
in your fields and in the unfoldment and unravelment of your fields how you do that.
Oh, very nice.
It is nice. So, you know, I'm saying it's just you and the embodiment of you and your spiritual journey. And, yes, keep going because, man, you're loving it, aren't you?
Well, I've got a great big smile on my face. Thank you very much for that. That was wonderful.
Well, many blessings to you, and thank you for your call, Julie.
Thank you. Many blessings to you as well. Good night.
Good night. So that's the thing about all of us is when we go through, I want to go back to karma for a minute, and then we're going to create structures. But in the karmic thing, when we go through those clashes or those pressures between two people which come from old beliefs or past reactions, gosh only knows how far back, like 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or whatever, you can feel them because they're really out of control, they're really intense and so on. But when that happens, underneath there's motion, there's life, there's flowering of more of your real self. Now, Julia wasn't talking about that kind of karma, but what was going on in her soul journey was an amazing amount of that unravelment, that opening of her spiritual integration in such a way that it's making her husband relatively safe with her, and he's not into it at all. I mean, there's no clashing wild karma there, it seems right now anyway, because gosh knows, I'll tell you what, things will be this way, and then all of a sudden it'll be another way. But that's the way she looks right now. And the other thing is to remind ourselves that when we hit a karmic knot, it's not the end. It's very much often the beginning of the next phase of refreshing our own ability to feel our, what, intrinsic, authentic power and the power of our self-love and so on. Maybe we should do an exercise on that first. Because my guides were saying, if you run into a karmic situation, these are the things they recommend that we do. All right, and that's that. Say you, you've had a row. We'll go into family of origin. Have any of you got family of origin? Ah, I bet you do. Go into something which is a difficult situation. Family of origin is very often loaded with these kinds of karmic things. But in any case, you go into one where somebody can't stand someone for no reason, no apparent reason at all, but the one person's existence simply rankles the other person. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar that that's a karmic kind of situation. It's cellular, it's other lives. It's a difficult situation because you can't just get a little counseling. That is, it's so deep. Now, when I made that story up just as an example, I'll tell you what happened is my belly hurt. I'm an empath, and very often I live my life in a state of feeling, and that feeling moves through my body, and I've learned to interpret it as well. Now, what's happening with you? We're going to do an exercise, so the first thing I want you to do is wrap yourself in light, and I'm going to wrap myself in light, because even though my story is hypothetical or metaphorical, I got a pain in my belly as I said that. Because the belly houses the subconscious. I know a lot of you know that, and karma and leftover stuff. Anything left over, right? Plus it houses our parents' things and our old food that's left over. So we're just talking about a leftover situation so that you have siblings, for example, and one cannot stand the other. And so the guides are saying this. Then you notice where it is in your body and drop in there. and really feel it, even if you're, perhaps it's been a more dramatic situation where someone betrayed someone, and that's very often a karmic kind of situation right there in betrayal. And the guides were talking about that just yesterday. Betrayal is an event or an activity that really throws us into learning about our spiritual journey again in one more way in which we can evoke a hidden pain, a hidden expectation, a hidden reaction, behind which is the light of your own self-love and self-learning. So it's a really great way to get onto your spiritual path, and it's a horrible way to get onto your spiritual path, because guess what? It hurts. And sometimes it takes longer than 20 minutes to simply process betrayal. However, if you get one of those incredible, what I call snake bites, then you drop into yourself as much as you can and just sit with it. And sit with it. And you sit with it intentionally. I intend to sit in the center of this. And the energetic center is somewhat like the eye of a hurricane. It's where some of the destruction doesn't seem to have the same ripping, tearing result. So you sit right in the center of it, way in the center, and you just sit there. And you feel it. And you notice if you sit there, if it changes places. And sometimes it includes several parts of your body. And then you sit in all those places, because you know what? When you're an imp inside, you can bilocate. Sit in all those parts of your body. And then follow it as it trucks its way through your body-mind. Just follow it. Good work. And then, you know, if you've got the time right now, then you go in and you just meditate. What do you meditate on? If you've got a mantra, use your mantra. I often remember from the Ascended Masters books, the I Am Discourses, they taught an affirmative statement called I Am the Presence of, and then whatever it is we're trying to master. And I often use that as a mantra. I am the presence of, I could say peace, something. I just sit in a mantra meditation for a few minutes. Sometimes when you're doing an emptying meditation, it'll take like 5, 7, 10 minutes for your body to literally shift gears. But it will. And so you sit in your meditation, and you sit there for a while. And we're not going to sit in meditation for 10 or 20 minutes right now. But you can do that. And you know what can happen is you can literally neutralize that karmic kind of reaction, because it is like a karmic knot. It's like a congested energy that's fierce and perhaps even physically tiny, and it's resonant somewhere in your body, probably the belly, but who knows, it could be in your toenail. I don't know. You're the one who's going to know. So the guides are recommending that you do that kind of energy clearing. Now, this is Veronica Entwistle, and guess what? We're drawing to the close. I can't even believe it. It went so fast, and all of you callers were absolutely wonderful, and so are you listeners. We were going to do a structure today, talk about golf. This is where you put a golden ball above your head and a golden ball below. Draw a filament of light from the upper one to the lower. And have that run right through your body and feel that energy. And you'll find a kind of a resonance, a radiance in your body when you do that. Oh my, that is just a part of a structure, but it's a wonderful part because you can feel it. My website, but I was thinking my email. I'd love it if you email me and tell me what it is you'd like to talk about on the air, what it is you heard today that you'd like to give me feedback on. I had some great emails last week. It's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com. That's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle. ENTWISTLE.com. And remember, I'm on with Jackie Salvitti and her amazing team on Thursday nights, and we're going to pursue more of the shadow. I'm there as her balancing force, but we're having a lot of fun with it, and it's very intense. A lot of us are moving huge clumps of shadow stuff and karmic things. So join us at 8 p.m. on BBS Radio. And I want to send out healings, blessings, and strong wishes. Remember that when your wishes are absolutely laden with love, You send them out there and they expand in people's hearts. So let's send them to Bush, people in Iraq, people in any of the war zones, orphan kids in Africa. To clients, I'm thinking of a number of clients who have severe illnesses that they're working their way through. And let's learn to send each other love and create conscious community all together. Much love to you, and I'll see you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Blessings.